grew up the Hudson River at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, which since 1802 has prepared young men and later young women to be officers in the U.S. Army. At 12 noon each day, cadets clad in gray uniforms fall out by company in a quadrangle in front of the school's venerable stone buildings.
Officers, draw up. Sabers.
An hour earlier, for some of these cadets, the terrain was literary. A class on the works of 8th century Chinese poet Wang Wei.
Would someone read Mr. Phillips?
Okay. Empty mountains, no one to be seen, yet here, human sounds and echoes, returning sunlight enters the dark woods, again shining on green moss above.
The cadets taking this class are guided through different modern translations of the poem by their professor, Elizabeth Sammet.
What claims is the speaker making about that natural space?
So I think that Snyder kind of gives a little bit more of a spiritual sense to me than in Hinton or Rexroth, because he chooses to use the word above. To me, that kind of makes a connection between the human voices and then the returning sunlight.
Elizabeth Sammet has been teaching poetry and literature at West Point for a decade. A graduate of Harvard and Yale, Sammet says the military academy was not an obvious choice for her. But after grad school, she was beguiled by the memoirs of President Ulysses S. Grant, a West Point graduate. That eventually led her to the English department and her class at Thayer Hall, where she passes each day under a stone arch inscribed with the words, duty, honor, country.
Well, I want to switch, and by looking at another poem that does something slightly different, the Owen poem that I've given you, the Anthem for Doomed Youth. What passing bells for these who die as cattle? Only the monstrous anger of the guns, only the stuttering rifles' rapid rattle can patter out their hasty orisons. No mockeries now for them, no prayers, nor bells, nor any voice of mourning save the choirs, the shrill, demented choirs of wailing shells, and bugles calling for them from sad shires.
The British poet Wilfred Owen was killed in action at 25 in France during World War I. Sammet has written a book recently. It's called Soldier's Heart, Reading Literature Through Peace and War at West Point. We sat down with her to return to the poem she'd brought up just before her class adjourned. We should make it clear, she's representing only her own views and not those of West Point or the U.S. military. I was struck when you read to them, and I was really looking at their faces, when you read Wilfred Owen's Anthem for Doomed Youth, because this is about the death of young people in battle, as some of these people may have every reason to expect, especially since we're at war, that could be their own fates. What passing bells for these who die as cattle? What do you think they were thinking? We didn't really get into their emotions.
We didn't, and I don't know. I know that I didn't choose that poem because it's a war poem. I chose it because it had a great example of the particular technique we were talking about. And so it's at those moments when sometimes I guess I'm surprised by the content of a poem, or perhaps they are as well. Today, that no one mentioned it, no one brought it up. Maybe if we'd had more time, it would have come up. There will be other times when they will make immediate connections, when the cadets will say, we're doing this right now, or we will be doing this shortly, and we do have a window onto this, a window that their civilian counterparts wouldn't necessarily have.
Do you think you'll come back to this poem, Anthem for Doomed Youth?
I think it's possible that we will, if time permits. And I think that perhaps what it suggests, and I think what many of Owen's poems suggest and why cadets seem to be drawn to them, is that Owen is always insisting on the humanity of soldiers amid the inhumanity and brutality of war. And here he's insisting on the need for some kind of elegy, for some kind of memory.
You call the English department the last outpost here at West Point. We're in your office looking out over the Hudson River Valley as autumn comes upon us. And is there some way, you call books weapons in this book of yours, some way that you're trying to make them better commanders, more sophisticated commanders, because you want them to think for themselves and not accept orders by rote?
I don't want to turn them into people who challenge lawful orders, moral orders. I want them, however, to be able to distinguish between lawful and unlawful orders. I want them to be able to think for themselves in those moments and in those situations that the regulations don't cover. And in wartime, there are plenty of situations which memorizing field manuals won't necessarily help you, won't give you all the answers, and that's where they're left to think for themselves. And that's where I hope they draw on all their resources, what they've done in the classroom.
For me, that would be one of the more interesting junctures. And I'm wondering if you can think of examples of literature that might link up to real-life experience. I don't know if Homer's Iliad would provide that, or Virgil's Aeneid, or Heller's Catch-22, or Tim O'Brien's The Things They Carry.
Right. I think it comes in all sorts of places, in explicitly military-themed literature, and also in literature simply about human relationships. But I think certainly the ancient epics offer us those moments. Let's say in the Iliad, the picture of Hector, for example, at the end of Book 6, when he knows that his responsibility is to go outside the walls of Troy and defend his city, but that the human cost that he has to bear, and that's leaving his wife Andromache and his son who doesn't even recognize him because he's all sort of spattered from battle and he has his helmet on and he has to take it off. The son is crying and doesn't... And that, I think, dramatizes for cadets the two lives they lead, the private life, the life of family, the life of home, and then their duties, which sometimes take them to hostile places. And they always have to reconcile the two and to realize the kind of decision they're making.
Professor Samet, I just want to ask, after 10 years, you seem very much at home here. Do you ever feel like you're a part of the machine now?
Part of the machine? Mm-hmm. Feeling at home is certainly true. In fact, I think in some ways, although maybe it seems odd, but in some ways I felt as much at home here as in any other institution of which I've been a part. I don't know exactly what you mean by being part of the machine.
By part of the machine, there will be people who feel that any academic institution might be the academic machine. But this is the West Point machine. It is making officers. It is making warfighters. That's its duty.
Well, to the extent that the institution celebrates academic freedom and intellectual inquiry in the classroom, there's no real tension there. But perhaps the great advantage of being a civilian here is that I live in two worlds, that I live part of my day in a civilian world and then come here. And so I don't think that I've lost that perspective, and that perspective is very helpful to me. And I think that being part of a machine that creates officers, is an important role. No matter what you think about any given conflict, until we have no need for an army anymore, I like to think that everyone wants the most enlightened officer corps they can have and the most sophisticated officer corps. And if I can contribute in some small way to that, then I think that's of value.
After our interview, we stop by the cemetery at West Point, where there's a constant reminder of what Professor Samet's military colleagues face.
This is the grave of William F. Hecker III, who was a major, and he died in Iraq in 2006, and he was a colleague in the English department. He served in the English department before going back to a unit and then deploying, and he was a great fan of Edgar Allan Poe, and in fact edited a volume of Poe's early poetry, the poetry that he wrote when he was a cadet. Poe was a cadet very briefly. Military career was not for him. He was
very
actually enlisted first as an artilleryman, and Bill was an artilleryman, and I think he found a connection there to Poe as well as a literary connection, and so that volume was actually published, and it's a nice testament to Bill's passion for literature.
57 West Point grads have died in Iraq and Afghanistan since the U.S. declared a war on terror after 9/11. A number of them are buried here. You can read an excerpt about how Elizabeth Samet learned the ropes at West Point at npr.org/books. And that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden.